set you free? Woo! Did he redeem your life from the enemy? Did he crown you with loving kindness and tender mercy? Hallelujah! Did he not heal all of your diseases? Did he not deliver you from all of your sins? Oh my gosh. Pastor Andy's been, and we've been going over love, and I couldn't get away from this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He loves him some us. He loves him some us, Pastor. He loves him some us. He loves Greg Lee. I tell you what, sent his only Son into the world because he loved us. He loved us. Glory to God. Patient and kind with us. Tender-hearted towards us, forgiving towards us. He loves us. Let's just lift our hands and thank him for it. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your love that you have towards us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus, hallelujah, to be the propitiation, the substitute for all that we did. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you feel with the Spirit, just begin to lift him up. The Bible says, he who prays in a tongue, give thanks well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Couldn't you just stay there forever? Guess what? Eternity's going to be, that's just a touch of what it is. We didn't even scratch the surface. Y'all have a seat. Give it up for our praise and worship band. Aren't they rocking? And I thought they did an excellent job this morning. I did. Especially the bass player. I thought the bass player was rocking. That bass player this morning was rocking, man. Couldn't help it. Is Pastor Peggy here? Pastor Peggy didn't make it? Well, Pastor Peggy, if you're listening, I wore my shoes for you. She cracks on me every time I wear these shoes. So I said, I'm gonna wear them shoes. Well, tonight we're going to have fun in the Lord, and we've got some time left, and I'm going to get out of the way. I want to introduce you to the loveliest woman in the room, my wife, Miss A. Lee.
I'm already up.
She's here.
I knew he was talking about me.
There you go.
He better be talking
about me. He better be.
Yeah. You want me to stay here?
It doesn't matter. You can see it if you want to. Okay, I'm not preaching the whole time, don't worry, okay? He's coming back. And I'm a teacher by trade, so I'm not an evangelist, you know, I'm a teacher, and so that's kind of what I do. So I'm kind of taking things down just a little bit, and Greg's going to bring it right back up, so don't worry. All right, y'all turn to James chapter 1. Glory. All right, we're getting ready for tithes and offering. I'm kind of starting at a weird spot. We're going to James chapter 1, and y'all hang with me because it's going to be a little weird where I'm starting, but this is kind of where God took me last week. I was going through kind of an emotional time. Women, have you ever been emotional? Hallelujah. Yeah. Men, you ever been emotional? If you haven't, you're lying, or if you say you haven't, you're lying, because you have. We all have at some point in time, and God just kind of led me to James chapter 1. All right, verse 6. Actually, let's go to verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. How many of you ever felt like you were being tossed around? That's how I was about a week ago. And it says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And I said, "Oh, dear Jesus." Okay. So there were a couple of things I pulled out. First of all, double-minded. You know, I remember many times Pastor David saying, anything with two heads is a freak. So, and we'll get more to that in just a minute. But the other thing that kind of stuck out with me was the word unstable, because I've always seen myself as a very stable person for the most part. You know, people question, how do you teach high school? Grace, you know, and you have to have a little stability to be a teacher at all, right? Where's Jennifer Santalisi's? Amen. Yes, coach, you know. So, you know, I've always felt I was stable. But then when I saw this, I said, okay, Lord, tell me more, you know, because we're going to get our correction from the word, right? That's where we get our correction. Amen. So he was spanking me a little bit, and that's okay. But verse 7 says, he shall receive, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Well, first of all, I want to be stable, and second of all, I want to be able to receive, because God is my source. I don't know about you, but God is my source, because I can't do anything on my own. I need him for everything I do. I need him to live and breathe and parent and be a good wife. I need him to just get up out of the bed in the morning some days, right? Amen. Every day. And so I need him. And so if I need him, I've got to be able to receive from him. Amen. So I asked myself, okay, Lord, what is double-minded? And he took me to Romans chapter 8. If y'all will turn back to Romans chapter 8 with me. And we went to verse 5. I'll start at 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, is life and peace. So there he mentions two kinds of minds. He says carnally minded and spiritually minded. That would be two, double, right? And it says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So here we go back to being double-minded, carnally versus spiritually. And, you know, God just told me, he said, double-minded is being up and down. It's having one heart. Your heart is for God, but your flesh is doing something else, and you're being controlled by your flesh. And it may not be in all areas of your life. It could just be in one area. And specifically, you know, I'm not going to share what it was with me, but he kind of pointed out an area that I was being double-minded in. And we can be double-minded with our finances, right? Which brings us into tithes and offering. But whenever we are double-minded, you know, it said in verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God without faith. And so that tells me when I am being double-minded, I am not in faith. And I need to be in faith every minute of every day. Christmas is coming around the corner. I was talking to Miss Jody today, and my kids are wanting some big stuff. I mean, we only do 3 gifts at Christmas. And, you know, they're believing for some really big things. You know, it's like, okay, well, we only get 3, but let's believe God for some great big 3 things. And so we've got, he's our source. We got to be in faith about this in order to, you know, to get this thing done. So the next question is, all right, if I've been double-minded, how do I become single-minded? Because we don't want to be double-minded. God pointed that out. You know, we can't receive anything if we're double-minded. So how can I be single-minded? And so he told me, he said, look, you're already single-minded. And he talked to me a little bit about mind control. Now, Greg and I in our house, some of you may not know this about me, but I teach science. And so I'm a little bit of a science geek. And I'm a girly girl, but I love some Star Wars and Star Trek. And we're into Doctor Who now. And we like science fiction in our house. And, you know, in all these science shows, there's always somebody that's being controlled by some weird alien species, right, or something. Right now it's the Cybermen on Doctor Who, and they're being controlled. And God kind of said, you know, think of it that way. You're being controlled. Your mind is being controlled by me. And who better than to control my mind than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, if y'all want to go there, Greg told me to take my time, so I am. I hope that's okay. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Hallelujah. So God said to me, "You already have my mind. It's there. And in fact, I told you, you got to renew it," right? In Romans 12:2, he said, if you want to be transformed, then you've got to renew the mind that I've already given you. And we got to renew our mind with what? The Word of God. And so, you know, the next question I said, okay, Lord, so what's your mind like? If we're one with you, if our mind is one with you, I want to know what your mind is like. And he said, okay, think about 2 Timothy 1:7. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, sound to me means stable. I need stability. You know, we all do. And I think that stability is probably one of the main ways we can really be a witness for the Lord. If God sees us up and down all of the time, or if people see us up and down all the time, just being tossed around to and fro, that's not really a testimony as to God's goodness. And so that's something he's been dealing with me about, is just being more stable. And the only way that I can be stable is by renewing my mind to this word. And I want stability. I want God to control my mind. He needs to be the one controlling my mind every day. So I want y'all to go to Isaiah 26:3, because I want to point out just for a minute, I thought this was so good, the benefits of having a stable mind. And actually, I'm going to read it. Y'all can go in yours, but I want to read it off of the Message. How many like the Message? It's so good. It puts it into just easy to understand. I need easy to understand. Okay, so in 26:3, I'll read it out of King James first, but it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever." Hallelujah. In the Message Bible, it says, "People with their mind set on you keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit." Don't quit. "Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God, you have a sure thing." There is nothing sure in this world, but the Word of God is sure. Amen. And I can't think of any better way than to be stable by trusting in the Word of God. So how does that lead to our finances? Well, this morning, it was kind of funny. Pastor Mike was talking about being a parent, talking about God being a parent. And, you know, sometimes parents have to just tell their kids what to do. And in Malachi 3:10, we all know it says, "Bring you your tithes into the storehouse." And I kind of read it here. It says that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room to receive it. And what's even better, it goes on and says in verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground." So on and so on. Y'all know that scripture. Well, you know, as a parent, there are times where there's not a choice. You got to do it. And the reason, you know, it's just like my kids brushing their teeth. They don't want to brush their teeth. If they had a choice whether or not they were going to brush their teeth, they would never brush their teeth. And the consequence of not brushing their teeth would be they would have no teeth left, right? And eventually they would not be able to eat anything, and eventually they would starve to death. So it's just like this series of events that would lead up to death, right? And so, I mean, I know I hate to go there, but it's the truth. So you think of something simple like brushing your teeth, the effect that has on your kids, but it's the same here. God's saying, look, I'm commanding you. You have to do this. And it's not because I said so. It's because it's what's best for you. Because when you tithe and you cut that covenant with me, then I am able to bless you. And I am able to open up the windows of heaven on your finances. And I am able to be your provider. I am able to be your source. And so, you know, let's do what he says, right? If we would just do what he says. And that goes in any area of our life. But, you know, tonight we're talking about the tithe. But God is good. Amen? And his word is true, and it is powerful, and it is alive, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, I always got to bring that in, Hebrews 4:12. I love that scripture. But if we just trust Him, just trust Him. Keep our mind on Him. Even in the midst of an economy that looks yucky, we keep our mind on Him. Even if, you know, the things that our kids are asking for Christmas are ridiculously expensive, we keep our mind on Him and we trust Him because He is our source. Amen. Y'all ready to give? All right. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for the correction that You bring us through Your word, Father. We ask that You would forgive us if we have been double-minded in any area of our life, Father. And we just right now commit to You to be single-minded, to be one with You, Father, just seeking after You. Father, tonight we give cheerfully, Father, for Your word says that You love a cheerful giver, Lord. And it is our heart just to please You and just to do Your will, Father. And we know that as we give, that we are sowing into Your kingdom, to expand Your kingdom, and to bring others into Your kingdom, Father. And we thank You for it tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. The girl's rocking. She's rocking and rolling. Just mute it, right? Hallelujah. You know, God asked for, y'all know why God asked for 10%, right? Y'all know that, don't you? He asked for a percentage. It's because God doesn't want to be on your payroll. He's not looking to work for you. He's looking to be a partner and work with you. So what He's done is He's asked you to give Him a percentage of what you get. Now, if He can convince you to do that on a regular basis, continually, week by week, month by month, year by year, now He can trust you to give you some more. Because the more He brings to you, the more that's going to end up in the kingdom. So He's just looking for some partners is what He's looking for. He's looking for some people to partner up with Him to try to spread His ministry throughout the world. And the way we do that is through the tithe. That's how we do it. Anyway. Huh? You like that? Yeah. You never heard of it? Yeah, man. Good stuff. All right. My name is Greg Lee. I am not the head pastor here. Pastor Andy is. If you like this, come back because it's going to be better when he's up here. If you don't like this, come back because it's better. I'm not the normal cat. It'll be good, all right? Praise God. How's everybody tonight? I done got quiet. The cold weather's done set in. Amen. That cold weather just gets you just down, don't it? Get you to where you just don't want to get up in the morning. You get home in the evening and it's dark. You can't get nothing done. Right? Anyway. All right. Well, Pastor Trey cranked up this morning. And the Holy Ghost is good. Amen? Holy Ghost is good because Pastor Trey, he starts dinging on everything that I'm going to say. I mean, I was just sitting there. I looked at Angel. She was probably about 5 minutes into it. And I said, he's preaching the same message I was planning on preaching tonight. So some of this is going to be a rehash, but I'm going to try to hit it from a different angle. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because Pastor Andy, we've been on love, and love is the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that grows in our life. It's something that we apply, you know, in our life. You know, it's something that we get to share with the people around us, and it grows in us. And this love, you know, I said it earlier, you know, this love is how God loves us, you know. One of the best messages I ever heard was Brother Ed Elliott, who's a missionary. He said, you know, in Revelations it says, you know, this one thing I have against you is that you've forgotten your first love. And he said, well, really the first love is talking about whenever you first realized that God loved you. And you said, yes, I want Jesus. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I get it. And so sometimes in the Christian walk, we get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget that God loves us. He loves us so much that He took the most precious thing that He had to give up on your account for you personally. And sometimes it's just really good when we're looking at love and we're, you know, love is patient and kind. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It, you know, it expects the best. It hopes the best. It endures all things. It will never fail. All of those things that love is, that is God and His actions and His attitude towards us. I mean, I'm always reminded of that. Every time 1 Corinthians 13 comes out, I'm like, okay, not only is this Greg and how Greg is going to relate to people in the world, but this is also how God is thinking towards me. Amen? So let's just keep that in mind. I don't know. That was free. The rest of it you got to pay for. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. I'm going to read the majority of it here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it will profit me nothing. In fact, the Amplified Bible, I think in verse 2, says that you're a useless nobody. Pretty strong, huh? So this is not just some light little stuff that the Bible's trying to tell us here. This is Paul is saying, if you don't have love, you're missing it. You're missing the entirety of what the gospel is trying to get to. You are missing it. You can do all the things in the world, give all the money in the world, $1 billion. Give $1 billion to this church today, and they will take it. But if it's not in the action, if you don't have that love, it will profit you nothing. Anyway, let's move on. Hey, Brian, could you turn it off the monitors, please? Verse 4, love suffers long or is patient. I'm in the New King James, is patient and is kind. Love does not envy, it does not parade itself, and is not puffed up or elevated in pride. Love does not behave rudely, it does not seek its own. It's not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil, or which means to keep account of a suffered wrong or somebody's done something to you. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It means it can handle anything that comes its way. It believes the best of all things and the best in every situation. It hopes for the best in every situation. Not only does it believe the best about people, but it hopes whenever it gets into a situation that that situation will turn out for the best. It endures all things. One of the translations says it can endure all things without weakening. It doesn't matter how hard it may get. It doesn't matter how tough life may get. It doesn't matter how long the lines are at Walmart. Love will endure. Verse 8, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But whenever I came a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know just as I am also known. Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Amplified Bible says, make love your greatest quest. To go after it. Pursue it. So many times in life, we're pursuing so many other things. I mean, right now, we're pursuing. Y'all heard about it. We're pursuing some Christmas presents. You know? What are you pursuing? When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing on your mind? What are we looking to do? And I'm sorry if I'm digging on some stuff, but it's just these are things that I have to correct in me and that I look in me. What am I questing for today? Am I looking to apply love? Am I looking to take this fruit of love that God has given me, which Pastor Trey went over this morning? You know, you're a tree planted by the rivers of water. And if you're planted in Jesus and you're in Jesus, you're going to produce this love fruit. It will come out of you. In fact, I think it's 1 John says that we're the children of love, that He is love and we're born of God, so we're children of love. We've been produced to share and bear this love in this hurting and dying world. Jesus as being the prime example, the number one example of how love is supposed to work. How is love supposed to be used throughout life and with the people that we come in contact with? So I ask myself these questions when I get up in the morning. What is my purpose? What am I doing with myself? What am I about to do today? What is my quest? What am I going after today? And you have to remind yourself every morning, what? I'm going after love. Because at the end of the day, at the end of this life, whenever it's all said and done, You can't take money with you. You can't take cars with you. You can't take none of this stuff that we see with us except for one thing, and that's people. You could take other people with you. And I'm telling you, in this hurting and dying world, the only thing for me, whenever I go out and I'm trying to, I mean, when I go places, I'm on purpose trying to connect with people. That's a purposeful thing. I do it on purpose because I want to connect with people, because I feel like if I could connect to you, maybe I'll have an opportunity to sow a seed or water a seed that's already there. We're the things, and it's not a boastful thing, it's just this is what we're here for. You know? If we were here for ourselves and just for us to get saved, and Pastor David used to say it all the time, if you were just saved just to get saved, man, we'd have got saved, we'd have shot you in the head, and it'd be over. Glory to God. Go on to heaven. I mean, instead of having a baptism, you know, instead of dunk you in the water, we just pop you. Glory to God. Who's next? You know? No. God never intended for us to just get saved and just sit on our can. He didn't intend for us just to get saved and find a good church to where we get fed the Word of God on a weekly basis and just sit on that. I heard a pastor say one time, how much of the incorruptible Word of God has to go into your heart? How much of that incorruptible seed has to be in your heart before you produce fruit? We're supposed to be bringing this fruit of love out everywhere that we go. That's why Pastor Andy, Pastor Trey, they're spending so much time and looking at it. It's the core of who we are. Go to John chapter 13. It is the core of who we are. John chapter 13, I think it's 34. I'm way off the notes. I'm probably not even going to look at them. This is the core of who we are. Right? What do we read this morning? Romans chapter 5, you know, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes to dwell on the inside of you. But He does not come to just stay for a couple of days. It's not like He brings a knapsack and a couple, you know, He's got His toothbrush and just, you know, I got a couple pairs of underwear. You know, I got my shoes. Just brought one pair of shoes, one pair of blue jeans, and I'm going to get out in a few days. No, He comes to stay forever. And when He comes, He's got truckloads of love that He's bringing with Him. And He's putting them and depositing them into your heart. And unless we're letting this stuff, this deposit that's coming in, if we're not letting the love to come out, then He can't, why are we putting this in you? If you're not walking in the light that you have, He can't give you any more. Did y'all go to John chapter 13? Amen. I didn't. A little hard tonight, isn't it? I just need to calm down. Yeah, look, I tell you what, we'll jump and run here in just a minute. Angel said I was supposed to bring it back up, so I will. John chapter 13, verse 34. Y'all knew where I was going. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, and by all your power and all the great things that you do, and the size of your church, the number of people that come to your church, and you know, how big your house is, whether or not you got a Mercedes, okay? By that, people are going to know that you're my disciples, you know, if you have all those things. Right? Excuse me. It's by getting up and going to work every day and being nice to folks, right? Is that what it is? About hitting that job? No, it's by love. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. That's the thing that breaks us apart, because we have something supernatural on the inside of us, deposited there by the Holy Ghost, that we allow other people to partake of. We actually allow people to see into our heart. We let them see what's in us. And what's in there is love. But we have to step up. We have to step up to the plate and say, okay, yes, it's my turn, and I'm going to allow this love to come out. I'm about to get serious about this thing. Let's go to, where you want to go, Jesus? Y'all ask Jesus where he wants to go. Amen. Y'all believing with me, ain't you? Glory to God. If you're not believing with me, it ain't going to happen. Ephesians. Yeah, we'll go to Ephesians. You know, out of all the books in the Bible, Ephesians is my favorite. Yay. Man, y'all quiet tonight. Shh. There ain't no amening going on. I feel like I'm doing a bad job. I'm finna cut it off. Pastor Trey, just cut it off. Just go home. Y'all start flipping the lights, you know. Get him out of here. What was it Pastor Mark says, Mark Hankins? He says, if they run you out of if they run you out of a church somewhere and run you out of town, just get out in front of them, act like it's parade. Yeah. This is probably my last time. Yeah? Did I say that last time? Okay, good. I got to behave. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 is where I'm going to start. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, which is outside anger, throwing stuff around the house, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, y'all all know this. That little 5 and a 1 right there next to the next little bit was put there by some dude. It wasn't put there by Paul whenever he wrote this to the church at Ephesus. So we're going to continue. Y'all ready? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Y'all ever seen them bracelets? I love those bracelets. Anybody got one of them on? WWJD? I used to think, I thought that meant what would Jeff do? But it's really not what Jeff Scott will do. It's really not. It's what would Jesus do, I think is what it says. Is that right? Or was it you? It's what would Jesus do? And we wore them for a long time, and they put them on, and they put the fishes on the car. And this is no condemnation. You got fish in your car, that's great. I'm happy for you, man. Wear your fishes. And put your WWJDs on your stuff and do all that. That's great. I mean, I'm going to tattoo it on my right here. WWJD, right through there. But if you think about it, what would Jesus do if he were here today? If Jesus lived in Minden, Louisiana in 2013, tomorrow morning when he got up, if he even slept at all, what would he do? What would he be about? I mean, he told Mary, whenever Mary couldn't find him when he was a young boy, I'm about my Father's business. What is the business of the Father? It's simply love. We could talk about the power and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And man, I love that stuff, the power gifts. But Jesus, whenever he operated in that, it was all based on his compassion for the people around him. He loved the people around him. And through that love and in that love was the core essence of what God is. He is love. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that he is love. It's not only what he has, and it's not only the way he reflects towards us, but it is what he is. And Jesus understood while he was on the earth, he understood his Father. And he even said it. He said, the only thing that you're going to see me do is what I see the Father do. And the only things you're going to hear me say are what I hear the Father say. Why is that? Because he's looking, and he's looking to honor everything that his Father wants him to do. And who's the core of who my Father is love. And so what I'll do is I'll get up tomorrow morning and I'll go love on folks. I'll go share the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. It's not, man, Pastor Trey, I was good this morning. It is not there for you. It ain't. The only time that it was there specifically for you was at the time that you were not brought into the kingdom and you realized that Jesus loved you and brought you in and you ate of the fruit of someone else. You picked their fruit. It was some preacher. It was a youth pastor. It was somebody, mama, daddy, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. You ate of that fruit of love, and you're like, man, these are some loving people, man. What's different about you? Why don't you tell me why? Well, I got to tell you about Jesus. Boom. And then now you've got that same love residing on the inside of you, ready and prepared to touch a hurting world that needs it so badly. They need it so badly. They're hurting. And yeah, angels, right? We got stuff that we deal with and stuff that hurts us on a daily basis and things that we have to deal with. But man, we got God. We can lean on God. We can lean on the Holy Ghost. I mean, if things get really bad, I'll get up from my desk and I'll go to the bathroom and I'll pray in the Spirit for 15, 20 minutes if I got to. I mean, they think I'm doing something else for 15 minutes, but... Why is that? To keep myself charged? Because why? We are here to touch this world. We are here to touch this world. And we're going to touch them with the love of God. Amen? Y'all got time for a few more? Stay in Ephesians chapter 4, but we're going to back up a little bit. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is God speaking through us and telling through us that the world has been reconciled unto him. And we are therefore ambassadors for Christ, as God were pleading through us, we're, you know. And then it goes on to say that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, and we might become the righteousness of God, right? So we're in Christ, amen? We're new, right? We're new. Okay. Verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Oh, okay. New life, new man, can't walk like I used to. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all cleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22 is where I want to land. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Then if you jump over to verse 30 and read verse 30 chapter 5, verse 1, you see that's where it starts talking about that we've got to imitate God. So in the mornings, whenever you get up, I mean, it says that you put off concerning the old former conduct. That's talking about the old man. That's the one that we used to be. We used to be that person, but we can't be that person anymore because that person died. We had a funeral service. We call it a baptism. We dunk them in the water. We pull them out. Hey, it's such a big deal. We make a service out of the thing. The old man is dead, so you have to put off concerning that. I catch myself, though. Man, I'll be, glory to God, I'll be somewhere, and something will come up, and that old man will come rising up. He'll just get as puffed up as he can. Boy, you feel him back there in the back of your head, and you're like, man, I don't know about all that. What'd he say to me? You know? And that old man will start trying to rise up. But what does the Bible say I'm supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to do what? Put off. Put it off. Just like you would put off this coat. That simple. You just put it off. And then you turn right around and you just put on the new man. You slip it right on. Slip it right on. What is the new man? The new man is created in holiness. It says holiness and righteousness. Created according to God. Is that what it says? Let's see. Verse 24. Let's see. Created, which was created according to what? God. What is God? What's the core of who He is? What is that? It's love. That love is, we're new man was created to operate in that love, which would brings out true righteousness and holiness if we just put that love on. Just slip it on. And you ain't even got to smile about it, you know? Just be patient. Be kind. Don't get all bent out of shape when the folks at Burger King can't figure out that you want French fries. You don't want no onion rings. You want French fries. Y'all with me? You got to put off concerning the old former self. Now, let's go to Mark 11, 23. And this is, I'm going to be done. No. Go back to verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Y'all there? And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. And I wrote in here, God also forgets. Sometimes in trying to forgive on somebody, love says that we don't keep account of a suffered wrong. We don't keep up with other people's doing. And I think Pastor Andy's already hit on it, and I'm trying not to get on the next. I'm staying there, but you can't be looking back on something that's been done to you if you really forgave them. Because if you're looking back on it after you've forgiven them, then now you haven't really forgiven them, because it says even as God in Christ forgave you. Just and this even as is a segue into that. It means even as, it means just like God forgave you. So whenever the Bible is commanding us and showing us that we should be forgiving and tenderhearted, forgive folks even or just as God forgave you. Which brings us back to the whole where I started, love. Don't forget that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It goes on to say, though, that He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's good. The Message Bible says He doesn't point an accusing finger. He doesn't bring out the faults in others. He forgave. And in the forgiving, it says, I am an eye of He have blotted out your transgressions and for my own sake and will not remember your sin. God cannot remember what you did. He can't. He can't look back at it and see it. If He even tried to, all He can see is blood. That's all He can see. If He looks into your past where you missed it, where you missed the mark, or you sinned, or something happened in your life, and you didn't do exactly as you were supposed to do according to whatever God told you, He can't see it. He can't see it. That love is in us. It's in us right now. It's 7 o'clock. Let's get some, y'all come on up. It's in us right now. The love to forgive. And not only forgive, forget. Let's, while they're coming, y'all go to Mark 11, 23. We're a faith church, amen? We believe God, amen? We know how faith works, don't we? Mark 11, 23, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he said, it will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask or desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you shall what? Man, y'all ought to get more excited about that one. My Lord, man. Just say something, believe it in your heart, and you can have it? What? I mean, you ought to be pumped up about that thing. I mean, that one, when I got a hold to that one, I mean, I ain't never ran in church, but I ran that day. You know? I was like, glory, anything. You know, go to running, boy. We don't run enough around here. Y'all might need to run sometimes. Anyway, I'll hush. I'll be quiet. I guess I just need to start it. Is that what I need to do? I just get out front with a torch. I'm trying to be serious. I got to stop. I'm trying to do this the right way. I think this is what God wanted me to do. So I'm trying to do it the right way. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believe the things that he says he'll come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you'll have them. Whatever things, including love. Huh? Including love. If you want this love that Pastor Andy is going over to start showing up in your heart, I would suggest that you begin to say that it's in you and it is coming out of you on a daily basis. Father, I thank you that I'm filled with your love and that your love is coming out of me everywhere I go. I am patient, I am kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. I can have what I say. May not look like it, but I believe it. Amen. But this is where I wanted to land, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you got aught against anybody, forgive them, which also means forget. And I don't know, whenever we were up here singing, I just felt like that I had to land on forgiveness. I'm going to get a tissue. I had to land on forgiveness that there's, I mean, it may be from times way back. It may be one person. It may be 1,500. I don't know. There are 1,500 people in here, right? Is that right? Not quite. But the Bible tells us to forgive. Love, part of love is that we don't keep account to the wrongs that have been done to us in the past. The Bible tells us to be imitators of God. I used to teach that in the back to the junior high, and what I would do is we would try to imitate stuff. You know, man, what's up, Doc? You know, who's that? And that's Bugs Bunny. Not a good imitation, but that's who it is. You know? And those guys that do the imitations, you know, they practice daily. Practice so they can be just like who they're trying to imitate. And so every day we should be practicing love. Practicing love. Doing what the Bible says. Putting it in. Renewing our mind. Every day. We want to be professionals at this thing, right? We don't want to be just the ones that just come to church every once in a while. If you come to this church, you're not interested in just every once in a while Christianity. You for serious if you up in here. I mean, because you go come up in here and you see Pastor Andy dancing, and I might jump up and dance, and Pastor Trey jumping up and down, and Pastor Jeff just sitting on it. Anyway, I mean, and people running around the church, you for serious, because you going to stay. You know, there's some folk, they roll up in here and go, no, You know, I don't want none of that. You know, some folk, I don't even know if they make it in the foyer. They might get hit 5 or 6 times. Hey, we're glad you're here. Hey, we're glad you're here. Hey, we're glad. They're like, I'm gone. I don't know about them folks down there at Living Word. So if you're here, you're for serious about this thing. You're for real about this thing. You're trying to turn this thing into a profession. You're trying to turn this thing into something that you're so good at that you do it all the time without even thinking. We got to put that love in us every day. But I think where we need to land on the piece tonight, like I said, is forgiveness. We're supposed to forgive each other and the world, people around us, okay? So y'all stand. Think this way I'm going to do it. I'm kind of making it up as I go. Ain't it fun? I wanted to run so bad tonight. The Lord's like, no, we're going to do this. I guess we can still run about forgiveness, huh? It'll free you up. If you have any ought or any unforgiveness towards anybody, from the time that you were slapped on the hiney by the doctor to today, that's still in your heart, let's release it now. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands and allow God. Allow Him to have it. Father, take this unforgiveness. Say, I release them now in the name of Jesus. And I am clean and ready for the Master's use. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, forgive us. Forgive us where we missed it, Lord. Wash us in your blood. Wash us in the blood of Jesus and make us right, right with you, Father. Bring us right back into right standing with you, exactly where we're supposed to be. Set us right where we're supposed to be, Lord. And Father, we're believing, God, that now that we're standing where the blessing flows, Father, we're thanking you, Lord, that those things that have been held up, Those things that have been looked like they would not shake loose, those things that look like they would never break loose are breaking loose right now in the name of Jesus. The money will come. You hearing me? The money will come. The doors will open. The doors, the windows will fly open and the doors will open. The healing is flowing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all flowing. You've been believing, you've been speaking, you've been asking, I'm believing and I'm speaking. You've been asking, why ain't nothing changing? Why ain't anything taking place? It's going to take place now because now that you've opened up forgiveness and really began to let love work in your life. Hallelujah. It's opened up. It's opened up. Hallelujah. Let it go, y'all. Let it go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Forgiveness. And forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Let it go. Let it all go. And watch God start to pull back and open up for you. He's going to spread open the windows wide and the light's going to start shining through. I believe that tomorrow there's going to be things change. There'll be manifestations in the morning because you're letting it go today. You're letting it go right now and manifestations will begin to come now. I just keep getting it. You've been believing and speaking. You believing and speaking, believing and speaking. It's opening up now. Let it go. I don't know what it is, but let it go. It could be something as simple as somebody broke in line with you at the Walmart. Let it go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody need any prayer for anything? Glory to God. Anybody, you had sickness in your body? Anyone need any prayer? You come up here, we'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. The Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I never want to go anywhere where somebody's sick and they're not getting hands laid on them. Anybody else? You can do this stuff at work too, guys. Y'all can do this at work if you want to. Just do it. That's what I do. I just do it, man. Just jump on it. Amen? Before we get into this, anybody in here that's never been saved, I recognize just about every face in here except for maybe a couple. Anybody, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You've never actually confessed, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. If that's you, raise your hand. We'll pray for you as well. If some of you out there have not been living the way that you should and you feel like you need to come back home, you got a little scratching in your heart, now's the time. Come on back. Jesus is ready to accept you and He will forgive whatever you've done and He will forget it. It will be gone. It will be washed away. It will never return. The only person that can bring it back up is you. So if that's you, if you feel like that you need to go ahead and give yourself back to God, they call it rededication or a refilling or whatever you want to call it, come on down. Any of you never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never been filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, y'all can come on down. Man, Greg, what? Oh, I don't know if I want to speak in tongues. Yeah, okay. Well, then I don't know if you really want to have the full experience of what Christianity is. Not only do I have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me because I'm saved, I've got Him actually flowing out. I mean, it flows out of me. It's like a river, man. It will change your life forever. All of a sudden, I promise you, the Bible starts making sense. I mean, there's how many of y'all really are filled in here tonight? How many of y'all are filled with the Holy Ghost? Now, answer me this. Out of all these hands in the room that are filled with the Holy Ghost, how many of y'all wish you could go back and not do it? Is there anybody in here that wishes they were, that are filled, that wishes they never were? Anybody? So, those of you that are not, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence speaking in tongues, you know, we flow in that, you know, and y'all come on up here, we'll lay hands on you, you will speak in tongues. You will be filled with the Spirit and your life will change. You'll never be the same. Anybody like that, come on up here too. Any more healing, y'all come on. Hallelujah.